rapidly. We'll see if we can get the juice out of it. And then go to the next one. Let's discuss it and see if we can go to the next one. It says, every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own learning that they will one day no longer need him. Every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own learning that they will one day no longer need him. Every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own learning that they will one day no longer need him. Every good teacher hopes to give his students so much of his own learning that they will one day no longer need him. This is the one true goal of the teacher, is to give your students so much of your own learning that they will not need you one day. It's impossible to convince the ego of this because it goes against all of the ego's laws. In other words, to a mind that's separate, they certainly don't want to give you so much of anything that you don't need them anymore. Our way of dealing with it is actually exactly the opposite. We think that the average person wants someone to need them forever. I'm going to give you so much of me, you'll never want to not need me. The core says it's just the opposite. That if you really have a healthy relationship with someone, that's a healthy teaching learning relationship with someone, then they won't necessarily need you. That's not saying they won't choose to be with you, but they won't be coming from a space of lack because you've given them so much of what you have to give that they don't feel like they need you, so much of your learning. To me, this really is a good way to look at it as far as children are concerned. Like if you were a good parent, then you would give your child so much of your learning that they wouldn't need you. I noticed there's some pigeons near my balcony, and they're on the second batch of little pigeon chicks. Leave it open. And what I noticed is that when they give them all their learning, that's it. The little pigeons don't come back 6 months later and say, hey, mom and dad, I'm back. That seems to only happen with us. That the children seem to sometimes, especially now, there's so much of children coming back to their parents now. So the truth is, if you really have been a good teacher and you've given someone so much of your learning that they no longer need you, then the Course says that's when you're doing it right. But it says an ego, and an ego is a fearful, separated mind. He says this goes against all of the ego's own laws. But remember that laws are set up to protect the continuity of the system in which the lawmaker believes. So it's natural for the ego to try to protect itself once you have made it. It's natural for the ego to try to protect itself once you have made it. It's natural for your old self to try to protect itself the once you've made it. It's natural for the ego to try to protect itself the once you have made it. It's natural for your ego to try to protect itself the once you have made it. It's natural for your old thought system self to try to protect itself once you have made it. But it is not natural for you to want to obey the ego's laws unless you believe in the ego's laws. The ego cannot make this choice because of the nature of its origin. You can because of the nature of yours. Egos can clash in any situation. Egos can clash in any situation. Separate minds can clash in any situation. But spirit cannot clash at all. Spirit never clashes. Egos can clash in any situation. Spirit cannot clash at all. If you perceive a teacher as merely a larger ego, you will be afraid. If you perceive a teacher as merely a larger ego, you will be afraid, because to enlarge a separate self would be to increase anxiety about separation. So the bigger your ego, the more anxiety you go through. The bigger your ego, the larger your anxiety. The bigger my sense of being separate, the larger my anxiety. The more I think I'm separate, the more anxiety I feel. So how much anxiety a person... My throat's a little impaired today. The larger your sense of separation from God is, the more anxiety you go through. The larger your sense of separation from love is, the more anxiety you go through. Then it says, I will teach with you and live with you if you will think with me, but my goal will always be to absolve you finally from the need for a teacher. Absolving you finally from the need of a teacher is the opposite of the ego-oriented teacher's goal. The ego-oriented teacher is concerned with the effect of his ego on others' egos, and therefore interprets their interaction as a means of ego preservation. I would not be able to devote myself to teaching if I believed this, and you will not be a devoted teacher as long as you are concerned with the effect of your ego on others' egos. You will not be devoted as long as you are concerned. Right, because if I'm concerned with the effect of my ego on your ego, then I'm never going to be authentic, because I'm too concerned about how you're going to react to my personality. So I won't give you an honest expression of who I am. Also, it says, I am constantly being perceived as a teacher, either to be exalted or rejected, but I do not accept either perception for myself. So that's what happens with Jesus. Jesus is seen as a teacher that is to be exalted. Or in the case of people who went through a lot of religious stuff that they got a lot of challenges with, it's a teacher to be rejected. So you either find that people tend not to have a neutral perception of the idea of Jesus. They either Jesus, 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 or Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's not, it's either, you know, and as weird as the chorus may sound, it was channeled, and it indicates it was channeled by Jesus to correct misperceptions about what he taught. Now, whether or not a person accepts it or not, the Course says that's not important in terms of being able to benefit from what the Course is teaching, but it will benefit you a little bit more if you do, because then it's easier for you to listen to guidance than to fight it all the time. Most people get so caught up in their programming around religion and spirituality and Jesus that they can't hear the teachings that are being given. But that's what the Course is saying now, that basically we are supposed to learn so much that we no longer need even Jesus as a teacher, because we'll be in touch with our own Christ consciousness, our own higher consciousness, and that egos are the only thing that clash in any situation. So it's never any such thing as my spiritual self fighting with anybody. So next time you think your higher self is fighting with somebody else's lower self, I'm sorry. It's two egos clashing with each other. You know? Yeah, I can't be the high, mighty one looking down. So let's take a look at those two paragraphs.
Okay,
Josiah. We're on page 54. It's on page 54. Anybody have any thoughts about those paragraphs? Like I said, on Wednesday, I welcome thoughts. And I would invite us to try to relate it to what we're reading, rather than something totally different, so that we can get clarity about that. Are there any comments or any questions about those two paragraphs? It was loaded, actually.
Yeah. Number six, sentence three, I will teach with you and live with you if you will think with me. Is the Course teaching us to think with Him?
Exactly. He says, quote, to think with God is to think like God. So if me and you are thinking with each other, we're thinking like each other. So for an hour, we think with each other. For an hour, we think like each other. So thinking with me is thinking like me. So yeah, that's a great comment. He says, but my goal will always be to absolve you finally from the need of a teacher. So you think with me, I think like you, but my real goal is to absolve you from a need for me to teach you anything, because you are aware yourself. You know, taught my daughter how to drive, and if I was doing it right, every time she got ready to go somewhere, she wouldn't call me to take her. She just get in the car and drive. You see what I'm saying? So anybody in their right mind doesn't want to be anybody's teacher forever. And then in a dependent sense. Now, that's not the same as the Course says, coming together to rejoice together, to join together, to remember together. So there may be people that come to my class, maybe you, most of you, who knows, that don't feel like you need me, but at the same time, you come to join and to remember. That's cool, too. And it's also good for people to come who feel like they want to learn from me until they don't need to. And then they just come to reinforce the ideas together. Both of those are great, because we all are teachers and learners. Sometimes the ego that can get so great that people don't even, they see being a learner as somehow being unequal or subservient. which is not the case at all. It's really the way you save time. You try learning the computer on your own sometimes, and then see how big a difference it makes to have somebody who knows how to operate a computer help you out, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. It's always, sure, my daughter could have taught herself to drive, but it was a lot easier if I taught her. So the course is saying we should resign as our own teacher and start being open to being taught by the Christ consciousness, or the consciousness of love, or in my case, you know, Jesus. You know, because my perception of Jesus is not the fearful perception that most people teach. And so I created a personal relationship that's satisfying to me. And it took letting go of a lot of programming that I got that was very fearful and very limiting. But the dividends have been tremendous. Anybody else got any thoughts about those two paragraphs?
So paragraph 5, sentence 5.
Okay.
He's saying that it's easier to listen to the Holy Spirit than the ego.
Later. After the learning has happened. In the beginning, it's easy to listen to the ego. Because
yeah, because that's the illusion I'm suffering.
Right, that's right. That's the power system I believe is me. See, it's funny to really get that your ego is nothing but what you think you are. And most people think they are what they think they are. So they think that they are what they think they are, and then the Course is talking about something else, that's their ego. Like, I'm who I think I am, and I have an ego. But it's like, who I think I am has a who it thinks it is. That's the way it really is. It's like the ego has an ego. So your ego, my perception of myself as a separate guy named Earl Purdy is my ego. And then that idea of a separate person named Earl Purdy has his opinion. So that's twice removed from reality. And then the ego that made Earl Purdy that's sitting in the chair is the mass ego. The Course says that's the part of the mind that we gave the power to create a world or to adjust the world to what we believe is true. So really, the ego that's sitting in the chair is not even the ego that has the greatest power. The ego that has the greatest power is the ego that puts you in the chair. That's a whole nother ego. That's the ultimate separation dream itself. So it's like you have a dream at night, and then you see yourself in the dream. Everybody's done it before? Okay, the dream is an illusion, right? So the you projected into the dream, is that an illusion too? Yeah. So you have the power to create a dream, and then put yourself in the dream, and you think both of them are real. Ultimately, you realize one day they're not. But that's not, of course, that's not where you start, though. So it's not even about trying to, does that make sense or not? The beginning is making choices for peace in your day-to-day experience. That's where it gets started. Anybody else have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, well, like when you're making choices in your day-to-day experience and you listen and with a quiet mind you receive answers,
mm-hmm.
Is that coming from ego or is that coming from the Holy Spirit?
It depends on what you're being told, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's the ego or not is determined by the information that you're receiving. And so the way that you would know the difference would be to know how the Holy Spirit thinks and how the ego thinks, right? And so that's what the Course teaches. It teaches you how to tell the difference between truth and illusion. And I'm so glad you said that, because in my experience of teaching for many years, that's the thing that people seem to miss the most. They make up something, and then they say God told them to do it. And they say, that was the Holy Spirit that told me to do that. But really, they haven't learned how to tell when it is the Holy Spirit telling you to do something. And so the Course teaches you the difference. For instance, it'll say stuff like, if it's coming from the Holy Spirit, it won't increase your fear. If it's coming from the Holy Spirit, there's no attack. If it's coming from the Holy Spirit, there'll be forgiveness. If it's coming from the Holy Spirit, there'll be freedom. If it's coming from the Holy Spirit, there'll be joy. You see what I'm saying? So if I'm saying I'm listening to the Holy Spirit, but I want to cuss you out, then that wasn't the Holy Spirit. If I'm listening to the Holy Spirit and I want to kill you, even in self-defense, because you're about to kill me, that's not the Holy Spirit. And that's deep for some people, because they do believe that it's okay to kill somebody in self-defense, surely. But actually it's not. But if there's no sin and no guilt and you're ultimately innocent, if you do, you still, you still have to learn to change your mind and your consciousness so that you won't even be in a situation like that to begin with. You wouldn't even create a situation like that for yourself. Yeah. So the Course teaches you, and especially the workbook, it teaches you how to tell the difference between truth and illusion so that you can tell. And after a while, it really happens that you really get which one. You can feel it. You're able to feel which one is coming from your ego and which one. And then you have to be gentle with yourself, because at the beginning, you're still going to do the stuff you learn from the world. We're not going to listen to this for an hour and go out of here and still not act from our ego. It ain't happening. So if you put that kind of pressure on yourself, you'll never learn, the Course says. So you have to have tolerance for your weakness. You have to have tolerance for your ego. Tolerance. I got an ego. I just try not to listen to it as much today as I listened to it yesterday. That's the best I can do. And some days I do good. Some days I'm a big call for God. What about you? Yeah. And so how far you advancing in the Course is determined by how much that day you can be a big call for God and forgive yourself for it and just keep on going. See, that's how you, it's not that you didn't get mad all day. It's your growth is determined by how did you see getting mad all day. It's an unrealistic goal to go, I'm not going to get mad all day, because I heard the book say peace is the only thing I should feel. That's not realistic at all. But it is realistic to have the goal and to say, hey, that's what I want to do today. Best I can. Anybody else?
The grace is that you can always ask for help, but I'm always present.
Thank God.
And the help to know the difference always.
And on the point of teaching and students and teachers, just on that, many times I'll call a wise friend of mine because I've got an issue I'm trying to work out. And that person will beat me to it with their issue. And then they're asking me for help. And so now I find myself in the position of offering an answer, and so I'm just helping them out. And through it comes my own answer.
Yeah, isn't that the truth?
And so it really doesn't matter. There is no separation of teacher-student for the help culture.
It's like, I mean, that goes back to the thing about corresponding needs, that as you begin to do this correctly, you attract people to you with corresponding needs. And then so you end up getting your needs met, because you meet somebody with the same need to give what you need to receive, and you'll need to give what they need to receive. So both people involved are getting their needs met without any sense of sacrifice. I want to give you a hug. You want a hug. Corresponding need. You know, and what people do when they don't love themselves, they constantly seek to have their needs met with people who don't have a corresponding need. And so they never tend to get what they want. Because the ego part of the mind is going to always direct you to the person that's not going to meet your need. Because you stay separate through not having your needs met. It gives you a sense of separation from God. So the part that wants to be separate certainly is not going to be attracted to the part that would join with you, the person that would join with you. He would be attracted to the person that don't want you and wants somebody else. And then you become obsessed, and they have a restraining order on you, and all the rest of that stuff, you know, that goes on in our love life. Anybody else before we go to the next part? Like for instance, if you radically focus on the truth, sometimes you have the Course calls a defense against the truth, which you call sickness or defense against the truth. And sickness, it defines as any form of non-right-mindedness. When it says sickness, it's not talking about just a physical illness of the body, because ultimately a physical illness of the body is an illusion, because the body itself is an illusion in the sense that it's not permanent. Only the mind can be sick, according to the Course. Only the mind can be sick. That's the only thing that can be sick, and then that effect is projected onto the body. So if you're beginning to realize that you're more than a body, then your ego will sometimes make you sick in order to draw your attention to the fact that you couldn't be more than a body. Because look at you, you got a cold, you got a backache, you couldn't possibly be what this book is saying. So one of the signs that you're beginning to shake your identity from being what you were taught by the world sometimes. It's just the opposite of what most people would think, which is you're feeling not feeling well, or you're feeling irritable, or you find that you eat more and you're trying to eat less, or whatever it is you say. It's something to draw your attention to the body. So sometimes the things that you think are as a deep retreat, the book says, is your greatest advance. And sometimes what you think of as your greatest advance is your deepest retreat. And I always think about that. So you ultimately get to the point that you can't judge it one way or the other. You can't judge your illness and you can't judge your health. I'm just as innocent if I got a cold as I am as if I didn't have one. You know, it's how I want to see it. But the Course says, call it a defense against the truth. It's just something to make you think that you're not spirit. And make you think you're just a body. And they can take the physical stuff that we go through too, whether that's a financial problem or a relationship problem or whatever's going on in the world that makes you not feel good about yourself. The Course says that's just a plan, which he calls defenses plans. I think that's interesting that the Course uses, that he says a defense is a plan. And that plans are just what people come up with who don't believe that God will take care of them. I didn't like that. At all. Because I wanted to, because it was too straight up. You know what I'm saying? That was just too blunt. Don't be that blunt with me. See, I want to believe that I really, really believe, but I'm playing my butt off all the time to take care of myself. Okay? And so the Course will just drop little nuggets like that on you. You know, well, the only reason why you're playing is because you're trying to take care of yourself because you don't think I will. You're right. And so I just learned to say, you're right. You know, but when you learn that you're innocent, it's okay to say, you know, that's true. I'm doing that out of fear. And now that's not the same as saying, he says now, that's not the same as saying you won't be given a plan. You just won't be making a plan. And if you're given a plan, then it'll look like to people who don't know it, it will look like you're making a plan. But all you're really doing is carrying out instructions. It's like you go to work and your boss says, I want you to do da, 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 da. And then you immediately start doing what's necessary to do that. But somebody looking at you look like you're planning your day. But you're really carrying out instructions. That's different. I'm teaching because I'm carrying out an instruction. I'm not attacking people as much as I can because I'm carrying out an instruction. I'm seeing myself as innocent as much as I can because I'm carrying out an instruction. I'm trying to let myself be happy because that was my instruction. You see what I mean? So how do you do that? Well, then you get ways to do that, and it'll look like you're planning, but you're not really planning anymore. You're following guidance. And that's the cool way to live. So right now I'm defending a little bit. And it makes sense. I'm surprised I didn't defend sooner. Because it's been such an incredible year of awakening for me that it's been, frankly, blowing my mind. Okay. Amen. Yeah, really. It's like 2008 will go down in the record books for me. I don't know what it will for the rest of you all. 2008 is like, my goodness, this book. Wake up time. Like the inner alarm clock went off. Oh, yeah, because it's funny. Another thing that the Course says I wanted to add, this book is so fascinating. It was saying that the time that you're going to wake up to who you really are has already been decided. So none of the studying that you're doing is speeding that process up. I thought I'd let you know, okay? But, so no. What the studying is letting you do, he says, is doing, besides giving you a better perception of the ride until you wake up, the other thing it's doing is also your clue that you're close to the time that you've chosen to wake up. See, that's different. We're doing all this study not to wake up, but this is the way you know that you come close to the time that you decided to. So like a little clue.
One more you study because you're getting.
Yeah, you know you must be getting close because you're focusing on it more. He says, but the script is written. And here's another one, I guess, to chew on some more stuff that's radical. He says, we've already made it back to enlightenment. And all we're doing is looking at what we went through to get there. So it's like coming at the end of a movie, right? And then seeing what happened before you came in, you know? But the only difference is it looks like you're in the movie. But he says, we've already made it. So it's not, so I want to put everybody at ease as much as I can. There's nothing at stake. 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 It's not, am I going to make it? Yes. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed because you already have. You just, it's a movie now. Looking at what you went through. What do you mean? That boyfriend you had, that was part of it. That job you had was part of it. That argument you had yesterday morning was part of it. Yeah, it's like every, cause right, because if you go to look at the end of the movie, and then you look at the part of the movie where the person is, let's say, having a big argument, you know that at the end he lived happily ever after. So even so, the argument was part of the plot. So you might just be at, you know, scene four, where you acting crazy. And so don't be hard on yourself. You're just doing your part really good. You know, right now, you know, you might be up for an award or two after this lifetime. You know, best drama queen. Okay.
You know, I noticed earlier, yeah, kind of big outrageous things the course makes like that, like it's already been done.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I hear like a real mind blower like that, what it does for me is it just removes the need to judge.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it's something like that, it does increase peace. So that's how I know, even though those ideas are intellectually hard for me to grasp, they bring me peace. And they stop me from judging, or they give me the opportunity to stop judging.
Yeah.
Every time.
Yeah, me too. Because, well, he says patience comes from being certain of the outcome.
Mm.
And a patience is also an abundant willingness to learn. So, think about it. When you really have an abundant willingness to learn how to do something, like when I really wanted to learn astrology, I would come home every day and I would work on it for hours. No one made me work on it. I taught myself for hours. And back when I got into it, there wasn't any computers. So I had to do all the mathematical calculations myself, and now it's done in, you know, 30 seconds. It used to take 2 hours to do that. Now, like, boop, put in the bird. So that's the way, but that's the way the whole thing works. What at the beginning seemed like it was hard and took a long time, the further you go along the path, it becomes boop. You know, most people can't hang, they can't do it long enough to get to the boop. You know, and, So right now, we're at the beginning. In what appears to be the beginning. So it looks like, oh, we're struggling with it and everything. But at some point, you're going to realize that as you accept it, it is learned. But it's not as you figure it out, it is learned. And that's the difference. And the beginners always want to figure it out. They can't have it. You just have to let them do it. You can say it a million times. You can tell them it's not going to do any good. You can tell them it's going to drive them crazy. But they're going to do it. Then if they get to a point one day, they just notice they're not trying to figure it out anymore. They're just accepting it, and they're getting the result. And so it gets easier, the further you go along. And that's the good news. And then the other good news is that you've already succeeded. Already. Every problem you got has already been solved. Do I always feel like it? Nah. I'm in Act 4. Okay. So let's go another paragraph.
Question for Earl.
Okay, cool.
As we have the option to delay
mm-hmm.
our progress,
mm-hmm.
don't we also have the potential to collapse time? And the most powerful tool to do that is the whole forgiveness process.
Absolutely. And the forgiveness process. He says forgiveness is another term for correct perception. So, if I'm studying to learn how to see you with love, then if I went ahead and just decided to do that, then I've collapsed the time it would have taken me to do that. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah. So forgiveness does collapse that. Like if you and I choose to see each other's brothers today and let go of anything from our past that would keep us from loving each other, which we've done, then we don't need any time.
Right.
See, but if you didn't like me, we need time. And I don't want you not to like me. You're like, you see what I mean? So as long as I got a grievance, I need time. So time was made for healing. That's what it was made for. First, he said it was originally made for separation, but then Spirit uses it for healing, which is great. You two have as much time as you need to forgive, even if you leave and come back, and leave and come back, and leave and come back. You know, you still, sooner or later you're going to go, oh, okay, I think I want to get out of the cycle of birth and death. Kind of bored with it. Some souls are so old, and you don't have to believe anything about reincarnation to benefit from the Course. Because the Course says, really, you don't have but one life, and it lasts forever. So in a sense, there's no such thing as reincarnation, but there is in the sense that you don many bodies. But you don't have more than one life. Just like there's a lot of clothes in your closet. It's the same person wearing all of them. But you got a lot of clothes. Now, if you identify with your clothes, then you wear the same outfit for 50 years, and if somebody tried to take it off, you'd be mad, fighting them. They're saying, but you're funky. You know, you need to get the thing off. I am my dress. I am this dress. I am this dress, you know. And that's what we are. I am this body. And oh, get that body. We'd be like clinging on to it with their life. You know, oh no, don't take my body. Don't take my body. That's what I am. That's why I always thought racism was such a stupid thing, even as a child. It was just so obvious to me that it's just stupid. It's stupid. Just me look at you and don't like you because of the way you look.
So if time seems to be speeding up, there's a lot of healing and a lot of forgiveness.
Yeah, if time seems to be speeding up, it's a reflection of more, usually more joy and more fulfillment happening. You know, we all know that's true. When you're having a good time, it's like that. You know what I'm saying? At the DMV. No, I don't even say anymore, do it. You know, where you're having a good time, like that, you know. Oh, God. Sure.
Right before our friend mentioned time, I love Group Mind because we're really all downloading the same information.
That's right.
And I just jotted down, we are collapsing time and we're arriving at the now plane. And now, of course, is no other way. It's the way.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And I always say, when do spiritual cats want it? Meow. They want it now. You know, until their past, the future is over. Anybody need to sign the list? The email list? Yeah, let me just pass it around. Because I'm going to be doing more correspondence and writing more things that I'm going to send out for you to read also, stuff that are coming. So I just want to make sure I got everybody on the list. There's another level that's getting ready to come through. Okay, let's take the next paragraph. I love this. It says, your worth is not established by teaching or learning. Your worth is not established by teaching or learning. Your worth is established by God. As long as you dispute this, dispute what?
Your worth is established by God.
There you go. Everything you do will be fearful. So, if I'm afraid, I am disputing my worth. I thought I was afraid because what I thought was going to happen to me. The Course is saying, no, you're afraid because you don't know your value. You don't know who you are. Then it says, as long as you dispute this, everything you do will be fearful, particularly in a situation that lends itself to the belief in superiority and inferiority. Teachers must be patient. What does that mean? They must repeat their lessons until they are learned. Teachers must be patient and repeat their lessons until they are learned. I am willing to do this because I have no right to set your learning limits for you. So I repeat my lessons with the class over and over again because I have no right to set learning limits for you. And again, nothing you do, nothing you think, nothing you wish, and nothing you make is necessary to establish your worth. I'll say that again. Nothing you do, nothing you think, or wish, or make is necessary to establish your value. There's nothing you can do that will establish your value. Nothing that you make will establish your value. Nothing that you think will establish your value. I love how they say so-and-so is worth $1 billion. so-and-so is worth $100 million. So when you hear that all the time, like I've heard in this dream, if you broke and you bought into that, you don't think you have a whole lot of value. But we're being programmed like that all the time. You know, that you only as valuable as how much money you have. So sometimes people with a lot of money have a tendency to think they're more valuable than others because they're being taught to feel that way. And they'll act like it. Then there's some people with money that know that it has nothing to do with their value. And they're rich and they're cool. I've met rich people who were really cool. I've met rich people who were really uncool. I've met poor people who were really cool, and poor people who weren't, and people who were in between. So people who don't have like a lot of money love to say, they got a lot of money, but they're not happy. That's what poor people say. So they just try to make themselves feel better about not having no money. They might be rich, but, you know. Like, well, I tell you, I've been around some rich people that was kicking it up. I didn't see no sadness. Teachers must be patient and repeat their lessons until they're learned. I am willing to do this because I have no right to set your learning limits for you. Again, nothing you do or think or wish or make is necessary to establish your worth. This point is not debatable except in delusions. Your ego is never, I love this line, it says your ego is never at stake because God didn't create your ego. So your self-image is never at stake because it was not created by love to begin with. God didn't create your image of yourself, so it's really not at stake. Then it says your spirit is not at stake because God did create it. So whatever God did create can be harmed. And whatever God didn't create is not at stake because it doesn't exist anyway. So, any confusion on this point is delusional, and no form of devotion is possible as long as this delusion exists. Okay, what is the delusion that keeps any form of devotion from being possible?
One's worth.
Right, that your worth, that your value is established by what you think, do, or say, that your ego is at stake, and that your spirit is at stake. As long as you think your ego is at stake or your spirit is at stake or what you do is necessary to establish your worth, he says you'll never be devoted. So a devoted person is a person that knows that nothing's at stake, just like what I said at the very beginning. It's easier for me to be devoted when I know nothing's at stake. It's harder for me to be devoted if I think I could really crash. Then it's because there's a lot of fear around the thing. Okay, any thoughts about that paragraph?
That's huge.
Isn't that huge?
I have a question.
Okay.
Well, it's kind of off, but I'm in this stretch. I'm doing the workbook again. Mm-hmm. I'm in this stretch of lessons, and I feel like I want to master them. I keep going over the same lessons. So it's talking about repeating the same lessons over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's my ego telling me to just keep practicing these, or do I just keep going on?
Depends on how you feel about it.
Because
it's the same lesson being repeated over and over again. The whole material is in just in different ways. Yes, it's like a different approach to the same thing. So here you go. Inspired is to be in spirit. Fatigue is to be dispirited. So if you're doing the same lesson every day and it's inspiring you, right on.
I don't want to use it. You know, like you play guitar or something, mm-hmm. and you get good at it.
Mm-hmm.
There's like this stretch of lessons about. You know, like, see, now I can't even remember them, but it's those ones where everything I hold with God.
My mind holds only what
yeah,
I think of God.
Really, they really mm-hmm. made my life incredible.
Yeah.
So I want to pray, like, forgiveness, it gives a remedy for forgiveness. You know, don't dwell on what the guy did, just...
Well, that's what I'm saying. So. If it's inspiring you, it's not your ego. And you sound inspired.
I am.
Okay, so if you're inspired, I'd stay with those lessons as long as I felt inspired. Some people stay with lessons because they're trying to figure it out and they can't.
Right.
Or they stay with a lesson because they feel they're frustrated. That's their ego. They need to go on to the next lesson.
I feel inspired like I want to just get really good at it.
Yeah, which... You can tell, again, so you can kind of tell what spirit or what's ego. Inspiration, spirit, fatigue, ego.
They really are all the same lessons, you know. Like one of them is that famous one, sickness is a defense against the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But the one before that, if I defend myself from attack, it's the same lesson, you know.
Mm-hmm. If I defend myself on attack,
I defend myself on the sickness, and I'm defending.
And that's what sickness is.
The plans are defending against the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
Making plans.
Well, I guess Jesus was praying that one of the ways would be to, you know, if I give it to you 10,000 different ways, the same thing, maybe one of them, you'll do what you're doing. You'll go. That's where I am sustained by the love of God.
Yeah.
That lesson. It's telling me for anybody that's self-employed. I wouldn't advise anybody who says they're going to walk out in the world and do their own thing not to have some sense of that they're being supported by the universe and not just their own ego. This is too scary, and you need to stay on that 9-to-5 job and get that check every week. Because I guarantee you, you have less fear than you're going to have if you're out here with a 9-to-5 attitude. And that's what most 9-to-5 people do when they quit their job. They still had that 9-to-5 attitude, so they panic. And so, because they really had faith in the job, and not in God.
Jesus was unemployed, wasn't he?
He was the ultimate unemployed. but Jesus knew his script though. You know, I mean, Jesus knew his script. I mean, Jesus said point blank, I am going to be crucified. I mean, it was not like he didn't know what was coming. He said it, you know. That's why I don't really get all the guilt about the crucifixion of Jesus and all that people get put on them. It's like, well, he said he was going to be crucified, and guess what? He came back and said, hey, still here. So how did I kill somebody that came back? I don't know.
Well, I get crucified every time I grow spiritually. Now, literally, but my friends go, you're crazy.
Right. And that's gonna fade away. It fades away.
It's a good sign.
Well,
because I get in with a group of friends, and then I grow spiritually, and they go,
well, if you see it that way, then cool. But they will eventually not be there. That's all I'm saying, is that in the beginning, those people are there. The more you do it, those people are not there.
But it's Greenfield's not got a lesson. Is that an ego trick?
Right.
That's just a trick of the ego.
That's just a trick of the ego. Because that same lesson, that same purpose of that lesson is going to come to you in another lesson.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So if I don't feel like I did a lesson properly, that's ego trick.
That's totally ego. I'm going to start over. I haven't done them right, so I'm going to go back and I'm going to start over. I know.
That trick.
Yeah, that's the biggest trick of all. Oh, you need reading the book. I'm going to stay on this paragraph until I understand it. No, you just keep plowing.
Well, those lessons will teach you a lesson.
That's a radical concept, brother. The lessons will teach you a lesson. This is great. I got to remember
brings
that.
Brings up all this dark, these blocks. Whoa.
Yeah, it's different from, the course is very different from a book on manifesting things. It's very different. And that's why even among metaphysical, so-called New Age, New Thought people, they buck from the course as much as anybody who is traditional. You get as much resistance from New Thought people with the Course in Miracles as you get from anybody you see that thinks that they are like traditional minded. Because it's guaranteed to offend everybody. That's what I like about it. It's something in the Course, I don't care how open-minded you think you are, you're going to come up on your sentence that's going to bring up your resistance. I haven't ever seen it not be true for anybody who seriously studied it. You're gonna come up on your shadow, and that's gonna be the best thing that ever happened to you, because now you're about to get in touch with what's causing the stuff that's happening to you, and you didn't know where it was coming from, and that's the beauty of it. You'll no longer be one of those people that's a nice person that's always having something crappy happen to them. You know those people. They're just as nice as they can be, but it's always. But when you listen to them, you go, oh my God, you know, and it's because they're not in touch with their ego. They're not in touch with their shadow. And they don't even know it's there because they're pretending they don't have one. Because they think being spiritual means never admitting that you have any kind of fearful thoughts.
Since you were talking about the lessons, I just want to share that I figured out what the ultimate lesson is for me, what they all add up to, all the course lessons, is one thing. Would you like to know?
Yeah.
Very simply, it's all just brainwashing me, reminding me that I am the Holy Son of God Himself. I'm it. And so are you. And when I get that part,
you got it.
And all the rest of this is like,
and everybody in here is going to have their own statement like that. Whether it's, when I get through with all of this, the thing that I recognize the most is that I'm innocent. You know what I'm saying? It's like everybody's going to have whatever it is that it reduces it down to that core idea that will straighten out everything. And your perception. And your perception.
But the paragraph.
Mm-hmm.
There's kind of like been a procession in human potential and human growth thought, all right? So mm-hmm. the first thing is, in the world, we get convinced that we are what we do.
Mm-hmm.
So then we hit that part about 20 years ago. We see you're not a human doing, you're a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And now Wayne Dyer and those guys say, no, you're not a human being, you're a spiritual being mm-hmm. going through a human experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the Course is saying, you're a holy, loving child of God no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And you are innocent.
Mm-hmm.
And so this stuff, I remember when I was middle school counselor, the shift was to begin to look at the student as, with, they said, unconditional positive regard. No matter what they did, who they really were, we tried to deal with them with unconditional positive regard. And the Course is just saying that in a higher level.
Yeah.
So that's what that paragraph is.
And the Course is about teaching you how to remove the blocks to the awareness of love's presence. So that's the other thing. Is that the Course is an undoing, while we are about doing. And that's why it freaks people out. Another, we're about do. He says, I love his line there. He says, you were created to create, neither to see nor do. You weren't created to see. You weren't created to do. You were created to create. But I'll use your seeing and I'll use your doing to take you beyond seeing and doing. Since you've made that skill up, let's use it. But that wasn't what you were created for. And that's why people are not happy. Because they are not fulfilling their function. It's just that simple. You know, because they're acting from the fear-based life, which is a life that's based on the security level, where everything you're doing is just for security. That's the lowest level that you can operate from. It's survival level. And let's face it, that's where most of our brothers and sisters are coming from. It's just about, can I make it? How can I make it? And what's good about all the stuff that's going on in the world that we look at as such a challenge and such a tragedy is that it just brings that moment closer for everybody when they say there must be a better way. That's the only thing that's happening right now. If you notice, the big thing that you're hearing in the presidential race, whether it's McCain or whether it's Obama, that they're both saying over and over again, change, 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 and they're beating themselves up about whose change is the real change, but they're talking about change because there's a mass consciousness. We all at that point that we know that we got to change now, but we have to change our perception. And that's what we are voluntarily doing. So if you're voluntarily doing it, you certainly don't have to attract so many physical situations that force you to make that decision. If you just go ahead and voluntarily say, you know what, I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to allow myself to be a more loving person. I'm going to accept the truth for myself. I'm going to do it differently. Oh, great. Now I don't have to have all that stuff that was going to get me to say that anyway. Now I'd invite you to do that today. Just volunteer. You know, say, okay, I'm willing to change my perception now. I'm willing to do whatever's necessary to join now. I'm going to consciously choose to be a force for peace on the planet. I'm going to stop blaming everybody else for everything that I'm going through. I want not to see myself as a victim anymore. Because once you do that, the Course says, that's the same as saying forgive and you will see this differently. He says, no matter what's going on, just say, if I forgive, I will see this differently. And then you go, well, forgiving means correctly perceiving, to correct perception. So that would be the same as saying, I will correctly perceive, and I will see this differently. And it's not the way that I'm seeing it, it's the way I'm feeling anyway. So we've taken an easier route, but for the ego, like you were saying, for the ego, man, it's frightening. Because it kind of means letting go of the way we've set it up to be. And that's scary when you've built your life around your ego.
And then something, like, you know, bringing down a huge building.
Mm-hmm. He says the course is like, one of the things he says is that the course is like removing underpinnings. And so the whole thing just collapses. And a lot of us feel like that. I've talked to people, and that's what they say. I feel like my whole world is collapsing. I'm going, great. So glad you, what? I'm just thrilled your world is collapsing. How is it collapsing? Tell me. It's wonderful. What? You know, yeah. Yeah. You now, you know what's real? It's whatever is under the world that's collapsing. Because it's collapsing into something. And whatever that is that's under there, that's where we want to be. Because that's the power that can't collapse. And that's where I want to go. That's love. That's union. That's oneness. Okay, so I'm going to stop here and then do the love offering, and then we'll do a quick little recap of what we're going to forget today. We're on page 64 and 65.
Okay.
The reason why I said stuff like what we want to forget is because what I mean by that is while we are in here, we're in one mind. And when we go out there, the temptation is to go into the other mind, right? But what Kaur says, though, is that every time you do go back into the other mind, you still bring a little bit of this with you each time. So you never go back into it as deep as you were before. And one day, he says it's going to be the other way around. Where you primarily be in your love mind, your right mind, and then every now and then you dip into your ego mind. But now, primarily people in their ego mind, for an hour maybe dipping into their truth mind, but it's going to flip on you, where you'll actually be conscious more than you're unconscious. But when you go unconscious, you will be unconscious. And it'll feel just like it did before, but it just won't be happening as much, hopefully, right? Yeah, you know I'm right, right?
Yeah.
When we lose it, we lost it. We just don't lose it as much as and as often as we used to. But when you don't, you don't. And you'll learn that when you're around people who have checked out, one of the most powerful things that you'll learn is to not engage them in conversation at that time and just let them be until they come back again. When most people try to get people out of it, they're not there. So they can't really respond to what you're saying because their real self isn't even there.
Yeah.
You're talking to their ego. Or what Eckhart Tolle calls the pain body. And when you're talking to the pain body, nobody's there.
It's a pain.
It's a pain to talk to the pain body. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock is the next class, and then Sunday at 1. Saturday at 11 o'clock, we have a memorial service here for Quest's wife, who made a transition a few weeks ago. Quest is the guy, the African-American guy who has the jazz band that will play over here on Sunday. And his wife used to come to the course quite a bit. And you probably wouldn't know if you saw her because he was pretty quiet. But anyway, lovely soul. And we have a memorial for her on 11 o'clock. This coming Saturday.
She's to come to Sunday class. Oh, Sunday.
Mm-hmm. She's come to Sunday class. And she loved the course. And so, and it was so sudden. You know, it was like one of those real sudden, like, I'm out of here.
Well, what happened?
Some kind of illness. I'm not sure exactly what it was, what kind it was. She's now expressing herself in another way. She's certainly not dead. Actually, the course slips it and says, we're the one that's dead. But we don't know it, you know, because we're the ones who believe in it. So we go through the illusion of death, actually, because I'm identified with my clothes. You know, I got this black suit, just turning gray. Okay, all right, let's see here. You got 5 minutes. Anything that anybody want to talk about the last 5 minutes or get clarity on out of anything that we talked about today?
I have a question about just letting go of that sort of mentality. I think philosophically I can get behind the idea of, you know, the worth, you know, son, daughter, God, and all. But I still go around hitting myself over the head with, you know, you know, you're not making enough money, and you could mm-hmm. be doing this, and, you know, so-and-so down the street probably is making X number of dollars, and, you know, why didn't you, you know, mm-hmm. A lot of just really, mm-hmm. really hard stuff that I, yeah. you know, pour on my head. So what do you, you know, how do you sort of break that? I mean,
you say those things, which is always part one of the workbook lesson. So what you just did was part one. If you when you get into a workbook, you find it to say stuff like, think about what's upsetting you, the person that you're mad about, what you're blaming, blah, blah, blah. Which is, the first time I first read that, it was like, okay, let me try to do that. Then all of a sudden I realized he was just saying what I do all the time. He said, think of what you're worried about, upset about, blah, 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 blah. And then I thought that was like separate from what I did. It's really hilarious when you kind of see it. then I realize, oh, okay, I'm already doing the workbook lesson. Like, I'm just not doing the second part. Okay, so you already did the first part. Okay. And then you say the second part, which maybe one workbook lesson is, I'm giving this all the meaning that it has for me. A second part could be the lesson that goes, I'm never upset about this for the reason I think. Or I'm feeling like I'm not making money right now because I'm only seeing the past in this situation. Which means I'm not used to it. The workbook lessons actually are about addressing those things that you do. Since it's not the conventional way that we are taught to handle things, most people don't ever do that because they expect to necessarily feel instantly better. And so, okay, I said I'm never upset for the reason I think, but I still feel upset. But each time you say that, think of what you're telling yourself. I'm not upset for the reason. So the truth is, you're not upset because there's not as much money as you like. Or you're really not upset. So if you're not upset for the reason you think you are, then you can see how you're on your way to not being upset at all. Because if you're not upset for the reason you think you are, what's the point? You know. And then he goes, well, why am I upset? He says, well, you're upset because you're seeing something that's not there. Well, then you go, well, what is that? Then he says, well, you see only the past. But what is that? When he said, you're just seeing your past learning. That you are responding the way you learned to look at things in the past and in the gone. So if you remind your mind that you're upset because of something that's gone, there's only a matter of time before your mind goes, it's gone. And when your mind gets it's gone, it's gone. You know. So all this, everything you're doing is a process that in the beginning will look like it's not having the kind of effect that it's going to have long term. So if you can just get to the point that you go, my favorite one that I've been doing a lot is the, I'm giving this all the meaning that it has for me. You know, I'm the one that's giving what's going on right now the meaning that it has me. Another one was, a person was telling me something the other day, and I got very defensive. And I realized that if I was, the course has made me recognize that whenever I'm feeling defensive, that my perception is distorted. And so I need to breathe, and I need to ask to hear it again, and try to come from a place that I don't feel really defensive. So again, after a while, you start to reprogram your mind. And my favorite one, my ultimate favorite one, though, is that's a call for love. Like if I'm really doing what you're doing, I'm going, okay, that's my call for love right now. I feel like I'm not enough. Things are not going to ever work out the way I want to work out, and that's my call for love. That's my call for God. So I turn it into a prayer, mm-hmm. as opposed to being something that I got to feel bad about. Ooh, I prayed all day today. You could ever imagine. I pray nonstop all day. And most people are, mm-hmm. but they don't know they are. You know. So it's all those little things. So again, you're doing all the things that people do when they're doing it. So that's good. You may question, like, hey, you know, what am I going to do? This is going on, you know. So you're doing great. Now I hope your world collapses. So things will really be wonderful.
Yeah,
because when the course of your world collapses, you can just all you have to do is substitute the word fear. I want your fear to collapse, so that you see the love that's underneath it. Yeah. All right, you incredible beings. I'll see you the next time.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. Awesome beings.